Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from Hamburg. This is Willem Elner speaking, and today it's my pleasure to present you our results for the first half year of 2018. I'm here together with my colleague, Olaf Borkers, and Patrick Kiss, our head of IR. As an introduction, I would like to start with the operation. That is the retail turnover of our tenants and the split up by retail segments. You'll find that on slide two. Starting with the overall picture, we have seen a minus of 1.1% for the absolute retail turnover of the portfolio, with an increase of 1.2% in our foreign centers and a decrease of 1.7% in Germany. On a like-for-like basis, our retailers in the first six months saw a plus of 1.3% abroad and a minus of 2% in Germany, and that's a total of minus 1.4% for our portfolio on a like-for-like basis. The performances of the various segments within our portfolio were as follows. In our German centers, and again on a like-for-like basis, services saw a plus of 2.6% and food catering a slight plus of 0.1%, while department stores minus 4.3%, shoes and leather goods minus 4.1%, general retail minus 3.9%, and fashion textile minus 3% performed rather weak. We strongly assume that the most important reason for these weak figures were the extreme weather conditions. After having a real hard and strong winter until end of March, the weather then quickly turned to uncommon and extreme summer conditions. For most part of Germany, it becomes evident that we have seen one of the hottest and driest summer in the last 100 years or so, and this made it, for example, rather difficult for the fashion retailers to sell off their spring and even part of the summer collection at decent conditions. It was, and until now, partially simply is still too hot for many customers to go shopping. If we look ahead a little bit, there's still no real end of sight of this constant summer weather in many regions where we are present. This is also not the best sales environment for the actual autumn collection, which is already in the shops or is coming soon. While most of us probably enjoy the very nice weather on a personal level, these extreme conditions are rather detrimental for many retail segments. Besides the weather effect, there were some special effects in the portfolio which we have to consider. They should not be overvalued, but they are worth to be mentioned. For example, in our centers in Hameln and Magdeburg, some shop construction and re-leasing activities in connection with regular refurbishments also led to a temporary decline in sales. In Gdansk, we saw additional effects on sales coming from, on the one hand, from a legally mandatory reduced number of Sunday openings, which started March 2018, and on the other hand, from the opening of a new sizable competitor in the catchment area, which naturally leads to some movements of sales, especially in the beginning. On the basis of these developments, our rent-to-sales ratio now stands at 9.4% after 9.1% year-end 2017. In parallel, and for the same reasoning as above, our customer frequencies in the first six months were also lower. We saw -2% for Germany and a -0.9% for our international centers. In total, that corresponds to a decrease of 1.8% in footfall. We'll have to see the further development in the next months when the weather conditions should normalize. Let's go to the financials and start on page two with the P&L. Our results in the first six months of 2018 look as expected. Revenues increased by 5.5% or 5.8 million year-on-year, with a major effect coming from the acquisition of Olympia Brno, which has been included in the consolidated figures since end of March 2017. Operating and management costs were 0.7 million higher than in the last six months of 2017, growing in line with the portfolio and also due to some slightly higher maintenance and non-distributable ancillary costs in the first six months. They now amount to 11.1 million and are full in line with our budget. The NOI increased by 5.4% to now 100.5 million. The other operating expenses were 0.2 million lower than in the previous year, in the six months of the previous year. The decrease resulted from lower DD costs in respect of the acquisition projects. In the first half of last year, we had higher consultancy costs in connection with Olympia Brno. As a result, EBIT increased to 98 million, which corresponds to a plus of 6%. Net finance costs were at last year's level and now amount to minus 19.9 million. The individual effects will be explained in a few moments when we come to the bridges. So all in all, EBT excluding valuation result rose by 8% or 5.8 million to now 78.9 million. Again, in particular due to the addition of Brünn to our portfolio and some interest savings, interest rates cost savings. The valuation result of minus 8.9 million, previous half year that was minus 2.2 million, includes investment costs incurred in connection with our portfolio properties. In the second quarter, these investments were, as expected, comparably higher due to the start of our EDU service and more beautification programs. In addition, we also had an extraordinary one-off effect in Q2 coming from the re-evaluation of our extension plans for our center in Gdansk. In the light of the current project and approval status, we have decided to refrain from the extension in its current big format, which led, as a one-off, to a write-down of some preparatory and development costs in an amount of 5 million euro. We'll review the possibility of an adjusted but smaller and less complex extension option in order to improve the further position of the center in the market. Summarizing the picture, with cash tax of 3.4 million, which are 0.8 million higher compared to the first 6 months of 2017, and 10.5 million deferred taxes, to be compared with 11.5 million last year, consolidated profit came down by 1.7% to 55.3 million euro. As just explained, such decrease was solely due to the valuation result. For key figures, which you will find as a summary on page 3, that means the following. First, nominal terms, while as just stated, the consolidated profit came down, EPRA earnings nicely increased by 8.2% to now 73.6 million, and also the FFO increased by 6.5% to now 75.5 million euro. On a per share basis, earnings came down by 10 cent to 89 cent, as said before, mainly influenced by the valuation result. However, EPRA earnings remained at 1 euro 19 per share, nearly on the prior year level, and the FFO per share declined slightly to 3 cent to now 1 euro 22. Here the dilution effect from the conversion of the convertible bond becomes visible. You'll find the detailed calculation of the FFO and EPRA earnings on slides 4 and 5. Let's come to our balance sheet on page 6, and that looks as strong and conservative as you know it. Our asset base rose by 53 million to 4.7 billion compared to the last reporting date end of the year 2017. This is primarily due to an increase in cash and cash equivalents by plus 61.7 million euro. As of end of June 2018, financial liabilities stood at 1.5 billion, 8.6 million lower than at the end of 2017. Non-current deferred tax liabilities increased by 10.8 million to 450.6 million, mainly due to the regular tax depreciation of the assets. The redemption entitlements of third-party shareholders declined by 1.1 million to 336.4 million, and other current and non-current liabilities and provisions increased by 84.8 million. This was mainly due attributable to the liability of 89.6 million for the distribution of the dividend for the financial year 2017, which was approved by our AGM end of June, and which was paid out only on the 3rd of July, that is right after the reporting date. Total equity, including minorities, decreased by 34.1 million due to the dividend payment. Our equity ratio is now at a strong 54.3%, and the consolidated LTV stands at 30.8%. For your additional information, after the payout of the dividend on 3rd of July, the LTV stands at 32.8%. And on a look-through basis, that is the LTV calculated fully proportionally according to the group's share in all assets, independent whether they are consolidated or held at equity, the LTV now stands at 32.9%, which is also a very reasonable number, and after the payment of the dividend, this look-through LTV stands at 35%. On page 7, we'll give you some more information on our debt. Of our consolidated debt, some 620 million become due in the next 5 years. We still see, as before, potential to some reductions of our interest costs over the next years. Currently, our consolidated debt bears an average interest rate of 2.74%. The average interest rate already came down significantly in the last years. Given the actual interest rate environment and quotations from banks, we can refinance our debt around 1.5 to 2% per annum. These numbers are without forward cost. That's a number for Germany, and in CEE we can refinance around 25 to 550 bips above that. Our weighted maturity for our loan portfolio now stands at 5.9 years. And on the next page, you will find, as usual, a more detailed maturity profile and the corresponding interest rates. On the right-hand side, you will find some contractually agreed prolongations and interest rate fixings, all those numbers including forward cost. As an example, you can see in the first line an amount of 72 million for Dresden, which we closed at 1.63% for 10 years, including the cost of the forward agreement. This effect from Dresden will become visible in the P&L starting in Q4 of this year. In the table at the bottom of the slide, you will also see that the non-consolidated loans offer, from today's point of view, some room for lower interest expenses, but not before 2020. Let's now move on to the bridges. Let's start on page 9. And for the first 6 months of 2018, revenues came out at 111.6 million after 105.8 million in the first half of 2017. Olympia, as mentioned before, contributed 5.4 million to this increase. The standing assets contributed another 0.4 million, which is a plus of 0.4%. Let's go to the financial result and the respective bridge on page 10. In absolute terms, the financial result deviated by only 0.1 million from the previous year's numbers. Following the steps in this bridge from the left, you can see that the interest costs for the standing portfolio now amount to 24.4 million, which is 1.4 million lower than in the previous year's period. This is mainly due to loan repayments and the conversion of a convertible bond in November 2017. Next, you can see the additional interest cost for Olympia, which amounts in an amount of minus 1.1 million euro. And the operational valuation result from the equities, as well as the contribution from the P&L relevant swaps, was nearly unchanged. And the same is true from the minority profit share, which slightly increased by 0.1 million. So all in all, the financial result was minus 19.9 million. Let's proceed now to the EBT bridge on page 11. EBT decreased in total by 1.2 million to now 69.1 million. Major changes here came in from Olympia, which contributed positively, plus 4.6 million. The standing assets accounted for another plus 1.2 million. Such positive operational effects were overcompensated, as mentioned before, by the valuation result of minus 7 million. Which was just explained in more detail before, and which mainly contained a special one-off effect from Galeria Bartitska in Poland. The contributions from the non-efficient interest rate swap and the deferred taxes were unchanged. Finally, let's come to the profit bridge on the next page, which looks rather similar to the EBT bridge. Here, Olympia contributed positively 4 million. The profit of operations of the standing assets improved by 1.9 million, whereas the variation result after tax contributed minus 5.7 million in comparison to the first 6 months of last year. The non-efficient interest swaps were neutral. The other deferred taxes contributed minus 1.1 million, and all these effects resulted in a total profit of 55.3 million. These were the bridges for the first 6 months of 2018. Let's now come to our guidance, where we did not include any changes, as you can see on slide 13. We anticipate revenues between 220 and 224 million for this year, and for next year, revenues should increase to 222 and 226 million euro. Earnings before interest and tax should come in between 193 and 197 this year and 194 and 198 next year. We expect earnings before tax and valuation to be within 154 and 157 this year and between 158 and 161 million next year. FFO per share are expected to end between €2.35 and €2.39 this year and €2.40 and €2.44 next year. For the total FFO, we forecast between 145 and 148 this year and 148 and 151 next year. So far to the numbers. Let's now come to the outlook, the following page. Looking at the operations, we are currently rolling out our More Beautification and At Your Service programs, and this especially in Dresden, Billstedt, Magdeburg, the Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum, and in Norderstedt. For some of these centers, we expect to finalize the improvements already in the fourth quarter of this year. For others, it will last into 2019. Some visualizations of the approved design studies to be implemented are already included in our annual report 2017. Such hint for those of you who are interested to see what we are doing there in practice. On the financing side, we're working on a refinancing of a total amount of around 165 million, and we expect to sign this by end of this year. As said before, the banking market is still very positive, and we are confident to agree on attractive terms with the banks. And looking forward, of course, we are happy to be able or work on that to increase our dividend to €1.50 for this year. And we also plan to further increase the dividend to €1.55 for next year. Thanks for listening. And I'm now happy to take your questions. Operator, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. First question is from the line of Thomas Effler from OBO BHF. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. I have a question regarding the retail turnover. You mentioned it already that July and probably also August were weak. Can we assume kind of similar figures in July and August, or even probably more declining retail revenues?
It's hard to judge for us on that, but we have seen extremely hot weather, and as you're based in Germany, you probably have experienced that as well. In July or and the first part of August, it cools down now a little bit, but especially in Hamburg, it gets hot again the next days. So I think there will be some impact. However, then if weather normalizes, which it surely will do at some point in time, we don't know whether there's like a cope-up effect that people may be coming after a sunny holiday and buy something more in the third quarter and fourth quarter, having saved something in summertime, or whether this effect will not happen. So it's hard to judge, but I wouldn't expect a high revamp. It's really that this summer took away part of the turnover this year. This is my expectation. Especially for the textile business, shoes and something like that. So that's why we are a little conservative also looking at the valuation, what the turnover rent that we also get from the tenants could look like this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And a second question regarding your Polish shopping center in Gdansk. You mentioned you were thinking kind of the extension plans. Can you give us more flavor? What are your plans? Or I mean, when you write down the 5 million, what kind of capex you're planning, or is it still not decided if you do it?
Yeah, so far we had looked into a rather big but complex extension of the center, which we don't think is feasible from today's point of view for various reasons. So as we still have the plot right next to our center, we have to now fully reevaluate how we could use this properly going forward. And one idea could be to have some kind of big box set up with two, three bigger anchors that are attractive for that shopping center and that region. But as we are very early stage looking at that, there are various scenarios, so we can't give you any numbers or something like that. So we have to fully new evaluate on that. And we have to change the building permit scheme again for that, so it's too early looking into that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Georg Kanders from Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead, sir.
My question is also on this, but from your answer, I got the impression that it does not accelerate the process that you would get some proceed from expanding the Baltica building.
Yeah, there are two effects. I mean, if we now look into a less complex solution, that is, you probably have listened to us earlier, that there's an underground stream that we would have to relocate. We don't need to do that, which is speeding up things. On the other hand, we have to start with a new concept and ask for a new building permit procedure. So it's not speeding up, but it makes it probably, it gives a ground to look at that from a different angle and come up with a feasible solution probably. Yeah, because I mean there were so many influences. The building permit law changed again in Poland. So for the big solution, if I may call it the big solution, the time would have extended even further. Development time, construction costs had increased substantially over the last months. So there were many impacts. As we said, this bigger complex solution is not feasible anymore from today's point of view. Let's switch to another solution. But it will not be more speedy, but we still consider what to do with this plot.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot.
But maybe I should add, of course, there were a lot of tenants in our center which is performing fine, which wanted to grow. So we'll, of course, proceed with those tenants, finding bigger space for them within the center, and then eliminating some of the weaker tenants to make sure that our good-performing bigger tenants that want to grow get the space. So it's nothing dramatic. We're, of course, not happy about that, but we developed the center and its concept further even without that extension.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
The next question is from the line of Jochen Schmidt from Metzler. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I have two questions. The first one, could you give an update about rental contract negotiations and the reletting conditions measured by the average rent change compared to the previous contract in case that the tenant stays in your center? Maybe a bit difficult to answer it in one precise figure, but nevertheless, could you give some flavor here? And the second question on H&M. Have they approached you in recent months regarding their shops in your centers addressing their letting contract? These are my questions.
Let's start with the first one, which is really a little tricky because it depends. I mean, you have contracts where you can nicely increase rents, others where you probably would have to give in. But to make the number, and we told you that the like-for-like growth was 0.4% or €400,000 in the first half. This was mainly different. So in Germany, we on average keep the rents, which is plus minus zero, and the growth came from abroad. Yeah, so this especially in Gdansk, we saw higher rents. But again, it's an average number, and you would have to discuss it by segment, even by individual tenants, which we can't do. Yeah, but there's some shifting going on between the segments. On average, we saw 0.4% plus.
Maybe a follow-up question here, if I may. This sounds a little bit more positive to me compared to your comments in the previous quarters. Am I right, or?
We are not unhappy. Of course, we would like to see stronger growth, but given the situation, the competitive situation in the market, we are not unhappy to see those effects so far. Yeah, having more or less stable rents, which is a slight growth. We don't get too excited about it, of course, but I think we can say so far it's stable and in a slight plus. And this, from sounding, is probably a little better than you've heard before. And sorry, yeah, and there was the H&M question. Don't want to forget that. I know we don't have some, let's say, approach strategic to, if I interpret your question correctly, to discuss about all the H&M lease contracts in our portfolio, which are quite a lot, of course. But of course, we have contracts that come up, and there is, as usual before, and maybe it's a little more fierce today, strong negotiations going on, but we don't have some strategic approach that I derive from your question. Yeah, but of course, it's tough with big anchor tenants at the moment. But having still very good centers and good locations, we have also some balance of power of ours on our side. Yeah, but it's not easy.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question comes from the line of Mikhail Tonchev from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Just two questions from me. Back to Gdansk Center, can you maybe share with us how the retail sales are trending of that particular center? Because obviously we have, as you mentioned, the Sunday trading ban in Poland, and you mentioned some competitive supply. Would you be able to share with us how it's doing?
Yes, we could too, because it's, however, it's rather early to judge on the competitor, which just opened, I think it was mid or beginning of June, yeah, so it's not really in the numbers. But we have seen in general, and also in Gdansk, there was very hot weather, yeah, so it's a mixture of effects. What we have seen, a slight increase of 2.7%. And again, this is weather, this is a little bit of the competitor, and this is a little bit from the Sunday openings in a general situation where all centers on average lost a little bit. If that helps.
Yeah, that helps. Thank you. And then the second one is just, so your LTV is around 35%, still in a reasonable range. With that in mind, how is the acquisition pipeline looking at the moment?
Yeah, well, the one thing is then the ability to acquire something. So with this leverage, which is still at the low end of our range where we want to be in, that's 35 to 45%. So there's an ability to look at an acquisition if it comes up, and just for an average-sized center, put it that way, to go forward just with depth. On the other hand, with the supply in the market and our appetite, of course, as always, we look into centers. There are some centers coming to the market, but we stay a little cautious because, at least in Germany, we get the feeling that property prices have topped out, and we have just discussed about rent development. So we're very selectively looking in what comes to the market. But there's nothing on the table where we deeper look into. Yeah. And, of course, we look into something in the countries where we are in, so also abroad. But also Germany, yeah. But maybe it's good a little bit at the moment to stay at the sideline, especially in Germany, and see how the prices develop and the behavior of some investors, yeah, that properly come to the market and need to sell, where we can be, where we would be in an environment where the market has calmed down a little bit more than in comparison to the years before what we have seen.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andreas Plaisier from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Wellner. Thanks for taking my question. One topic here again, Dansk. And is there a risk that there will be no extension in Gdansk? And what could be the impact in terms of write-down? And the second question also, what is your plan in lettable space? I think your original plan was nearly an increase of one-third. I think the first one, what aim is here in terms of lettable space?
Yeah, I mean, you said what is the risk of no extension. I mean, we own that plot, and we'll look whether we can do something which is reasonable and feasible. And, of course, as we rather start new on that, there is a chance that there will be no extension, but then we still own the plot, which we couldn't use for something else or could give it to somebody else. And we have written it down so far to the market value of a development plot, so we don't expect any major effects from the historic investment costs for the bigger extension on top of what we have done. Yeah, so that should be straight in the books as it should be.
Okay.
So I think, and that's why I've mentioned it earlier, We, of course, have changed our strategy for the internal further development of the existing center, that is giving the big anchor tenants like the Zaras and so, and the LPP group, which is very big in Poland, the spaces they need to grow. So we act accordingly within the center. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Andrei Remke from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. Again, a question on Gdansk. So is there a risk of for the valuation of the existing center when the site will not be expanded?
Besides the normal market impacts, yeah, for such valuation, I don't see some direct risk linked to that. Yeah, because we had this plot right next to it. We incurred some costs in relation to that. But the center itself, it's existing, it's performing, it's fully leased. Of course, there's a new competitor, but this is a normal market, let's say, impact, I would say. But no, I wouldn't see some extra effect coming from on the valuation of the center being derived from the not coming extension as we have planned it before.
Okay, that's clear. What is not crystal clear to me is really what was the final reason for a smaller or probably not an expansion. You mentioned construction costs, well, building permits, etc., etc. So what was the final reason for the decision?
Yeah, I mean, you always review your projects going forward. And, I mean, they were accumulating these effects, like the new building permit procedure that needed to be implemented, like the quotations for the first construction costs that we got in, where we saw that they really have come up. There's a more reluctance in the tenant market to grow as big as they were planning 2-3 years before when we set that up. I mean, we have big anchor tenants that wanted to grow, and some of them still want to grow, but probably not as big as they planned 2-3 years ago. And if you sum all this up, and it accumulated really in Q2, we did a big review, evaluated whether it's still reasonable, feasible to follow that, and then we said out of those cumulative effects that we changed the strategy, as I just mentioned before, restructure internally in the way that it's needed, and look for a solution for the adjacent plots that we still own.
Okay.
So it was not a single event, but if you all sum that up, if you run your numbers, it needs to be feasible, and then we came to the conclusion it's not. And it's worth summing up of some effects.
Okay, that's clear. Thanks for the clarification. Then the last question on your other investment programs. You mentioned the two programs for the five centers. Can you remind me on the overall investment cost? I have in my mind 25 to 30 million. Is that right? The right assumption or?
Yeah, but this is the total capex that we incur for the full portfolio for the next three and a half years, and these include the special capex we do for the mall beautification and the edge service measurements. Yeah, so one third of that was roughly concerning those programs, and the other is for the normal capex that we had also the years before, that is, you know, refurbishment of a roof or air condition or something like that.
Yeah, and so one third, i.e., let's say 10 million or so. Does this refer to the five centers, initial centers, and will this be being rolled out over the next 1 or 2 years to the rest of the portfolio?
Yeah, it will be rolled out in the next more three and a half years. We try to speed that up because once you decide to do those programs, you want to have them implemented as quickly as possible. But these relate to the portfolio, to the centers in the portfolio that we have picked for those measurements, which are eight, maybe a little measure in another ninth one. So this amount relates to the up to ninth center. And it, in some centers, it's just 1 or 2 million, and in others, it's probably up to 6-7 million. Yeah, so it's not, we're not doing the same in each of the centers.
But if you have nine centers for, let's say, on average 4 million, then you end up with 30-40 million.
Yeah, but if you take this 10 million times 3.5 years, it's roughly
35. Okay. That's a calculation.
It's not that easy, this back on an envelope calculation. Yeah, there are detailed calculations for each and every center. Roughly you could come to that number, yeah, in that way.
Okay, perfect. That's clear. Thank you very much. That's for my side.
If you you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. The next question is from the line of Eric Saltz from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Some of the questions have been answered, so thanks for that. But one remaining from my side. If I look at the FFO guidance and the FFO for the half year, which is 75.5 million, and I look at a maximum of 148 million for the full year, which is in your guidance, is that not a little bit too conservative? And why the conservatism in that number?
Yeah, I mean, we have touched it a little earlier that we are not too unhappy to see the like-for-like rental growth at the moment. So it's probably a little above the mid-range of the guidance. So we'll feel with a comfortable, I mean, if this year proceeds like we have seen it, we probably would end up at the upper line of the guidance. While we are at the FFO, a little, let's say, still conservative is, and where you say that's probably a little too low, I've mentioned before the turnover developments of many of the segments. And it's not a huge proportion, but we still have some visible proportion of turnover rent every year. And this can be estimated only end of the year. And with turnovers being a little bit depressed for some of the retailers, we are a little conservative on the expectations for the turnover rents, which are not so easy to calculate. So that's why we stay conservative and don't get too excited. But at the moment, we feel a little more at the upper end of the guidance. Yeah.
Right. Sure. But can you give us a number in terms of turnover rent? You know, what was that in 2017, for example, full year in euro millions?
Yeah, that was around 2.6 million. But mm-hmm. we also had years where it was just one and a half million. And it's also that it's difficult to calculate because, I mean, you have your fixed rent and the fixed rent increase with inflation, so you run behind then the new turnover rent. I hope it's easy to understand what I said. Yeah, so whenever you have an indexation, it's harder to get the turnover rent. That's why we are conservative, whether we don't know whether we are at the lower end of such turnover numbers per annum or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, one to 2 million divided by the number of shares gives you probably the difference that you would expect to see or which we hope to achieve this year. But, I mean, we were just telling you the numbers. I mean, there are reasons. They should not be valued as excuses. But, I mean, if you run through the centers or have been running through the centers and in the heat, and you will see that people weren't just there in the amount. I mean, they were there. We have income and the tenants mm-hmm. have turnover, but not in the amounts that we would have normally expect. So this probably will be seen in the turnover numbers end of the year and the turnover end then. That's, yeah.
Okay.
But the numbers are not bad, put it that way, our financial numbers. Yeah. So we're positive on that.
Yeah, and I mean, indeed, if you look at the half year FFO, and you would, I mean, I understand that it may be too easy to simply double that if turnover rent only comes in at the end of the year, but if it's only 2.6 or whatever million in total, then again it still feels that the top end of the guidance should be easily reached. But yeah, that's my interpretation of slide number three.
Mm.
I understand your answer and thanks for that.
Yeah, we have a little other more variable income components. We have some mall marketing, which is roughly 1.5 million. And again, if the malls are empty, and these are short term leases, yeah, like for 2, 3, 4 weeks,
sure.
From ice cream to fruits to whatever. So also that could be a little lower this year, which is nothing dramatic, but you know, it all ends up being a little more flexible, and as the malls were a little more empty this hot summer, we might see that at the end of the year. But again,
right.
Maybe the message should be taken, we are not negative here. Yeah, we had a good first half year, but we are still in a difficult environment, and we didn't want to get too excited. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand the conference back to Mr. Wilhelm Bellner for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, there are no further questions. Thank you for participating. We hope you had a nice hot summer, and please now go all back to the malls and shop. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.